Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
Dave and I learned a lot about Ozempic and Mounjaro and Wegovy when we did a special here for KSL News Radio on people who were using these drugs to control their diabetes. Well, now we're learning through news organizations and reporting that women are becoming pregnant after using these weight loss drugs, even when they're on a form of birth control.
It beats birth control? Debbie, this is incredible. Now, there are so many drugs out there that, and this is pretty incredible. Research and development, they develop this drug, and this happens all the time. They develop a drug for something. In this case, Ozempic, Wegovy, these things were for diabetics. It was to help diabetics control their blood sugar level and their hunger and appetites. And then what they realized was a side effect was they were losing weight. Mm-hmm. And then they started realizing, oh, well, this could be used not just for diabetes, but for weight loss. And then now we're starting to realize what? That it's diabetes, it's weight loss, and now it helps you get pregnant?
Dr. David Turek, Associate Professor, the University of Utah Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology, board certified, OBGYN and family practice. You're busy.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, thanks for taking a few minutes. Let's get as many questions as we can with you, because I think this is incredible. But I want it to be more nuanced than this. Does this necessarily mean that women who are struggling getting pregnant may have some success with these newer medications, doctor?
No.
Okay.
That is not how I would view the message. And I would, as you were giving the intro there, which sounded super compelling, I would say, whoa. So,
great. Go for it.
A major communication point is relationship versus cause. And when you look at these drugs, which I'm sure you did in the prior episode, which unfortunately I missed, the drugs are super effective at decreasing desire for eating and decreasing appetite, and they slow the transit of food in the gut. And they are very, very effective in helping people lose weight, and they're very effective in helping people control their blood glucose levels and improving their diabetes. That's cause, right?
Like, yes.
Nearly everybody, you look at the whole population, you see very significant drops in like 15 to 20% total body weight loss on average for these drugs. Like, that's amazing. And the information that we're getting about pregnancy is coming from social media. And yeah, it's not surprising that a group of people who are heavier, who are more likely not to be ovulating, lower their weight, they ovulate, and then they're more likely to get pregnant. Mm. So birth control pills don't work perfectly. They work very, very well and much better than, they're much more effective than other methods. Not perfect, and lots of people have side effects with birth control pills. But it's not surprising to hear that as people's weight drops, they're more likely to ovulate, more likely to have a pregnancy. And the contraceptive failures, as far as, people who are on birth control, this is not beating birth control. People who are taking birth control, if 100 people are using the method over the course of the year, we expect about 9 pregnancies. So that's not a shock that, people are, if you're now able to get pregnant, you're going to have more failures because potentially before you weren't going to have any failures because you weren't ovulating. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You did an incredible job explaining that. So you're attributing this more to the weight loss, maybe increasing the possibility of fertility versus some hormone that might be triggered from these drugs?
Correct. Yeah. The bottom line is, I think as a public health message, people will do the best and have the healthiest pregnancies and the healthiest families when they can plan, anticipate, and go into pregnancies as healthy as possible. And that means determining when that's going to happen. The current recommendations for these drugs, because we have really no data on their safety during pregnancy, is to stop them 2 months before pregnancy. And as many of your listeners, and I'm sure you're aware, like, pregnancy is not like a light switch. You don't just turn it on when you want it. Lots of people, it takes a little while. So, you know, in an ideal scenario for people who are using these drugs, just like, you know, for anyone, plan pregnancy, work toward, you know, a goal weight, I think, and, you know, it would be a part, a component of this. And optimizing health. And, you know, people who are using these drugs or using them also have high blood pressure and diabetes. Getting those things under control, then, you know, stop them and then go on to pregnancy.
So, Dr. Turek, before we let you go, I'm visualizing this, you know, the many, many times that I went to my OBGYN office before I got pregnant. And at the when I got pregnant initially, I mean, I was 125 pounds. And, you know, after my first baby, when I gained 100 pounds, I was a lot heavier. So I wonder if the conversation would have gone like this, you know, like maybe if we were struggling to get pregnant with our second child and these drugs were available, is this something that you think doctors would suggest? Yeah, try it, lose some weight and then see if you increase the potential of conception.
That is a super reasonable question, and there's studies beginning to look at this. But, you know, this is a data-free zone. The indications, the things that these drugs are FDA approved for, are very specific. And it's not just for heavier people. It's for heavier people with medical conditions or people who are much, much heavier. So, you know, there's specific criteria to start the drugs. This is not just for people who've gained some weight and want to lose some.
Sure.
You know, there are specific medical indications. And, you know, as medical providers, we do our best when we prioritize what people came for. And the way I introduce myself when I walk into the room is to say, hi, my name's Dave Turek. I'm the doctor. My job is to make sure you get the best medical care. And when you walk out of here, you feel respected. And if we focus on those things, we will do our best work. And in this particular case, I think that means helping people plan their pregnancies and have them when they desire, when they're in their best health.
Dr. Turek, thank you so much for joining us. I love the explanation, walking us and holding our hands through this, because a lot of information comes out. Sometimes it's bad information or just partial information. I think you did a wonderful job of explaining. I think the social media posts, that they can boil up a little bit. But from what I take away with it, Debbie, he was saying, yeah, sometimes losing weight can improve your chances of pregnancy. And that's exactly what these drugs do, is they help you lose weight.
So I think there's just such a struggle for so many couples to conceive. I think this opens up a larger conversation about infertility and the rising cost of IVF and how financially just unaffordable it is. So let's talk about that next.
Dave and Dujanovic.
We just hung up the phone with the University of Utah associate professor and also an OBGYN, Dr. David Turek, and he was talking about Ozempic. They're calling them Ozempic babies. He didn't call them that, but the media is calling them that, and that women are getting pregnant, finding that they're getting pregnant after they take these drugs, even though they've struggled with pregnancy. And he made it very, very clear right out of the gates that this is probably more associated with the weight loss and then their ability to conceive than it is some sort of like magical hormone.
Yeah.
In those drugs.
It's not a new fertility drug. He was very clear about that. Now, this is still pretty new. These drugs are pretty new. They're finding out a lot about them. They were originally created for diabetics. We learned that it's very good at helping you lose weight. There may be other things that pop up, but he said, we don't have the data on that. We don't know if it does anything other than helps you lose weight. That we do know.
The times my friends have confided in me about difficulties getting pregnant, it's usually about a conversation regarding IVF and how much they're going to have to come up with in order to afford it. And I'm just looking at a USA Today financial breakdown on IVF. They did this like last month. They said the estimated average cost per IVF cycle is about $12,000. And that it can wind up costing as much as $25,000.
With no guarantee that it works.
Yeah. Our very own news director, Becky Bruce, reached out to us when she saw this was on the agenda for today and our discussion with our, you know, the OBGYN doctor who teaches up at the University of Utah, Becky. And thank you so much for joining us for this conversation, because it can be such a delicate conversation. Why don't you walk us through what you're willing and wanting to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I think I am so grateful to hear doctors talking about this openly now and doing so without the stigma and judgment that I got 22 years ago when we were talking about trying to conceive. You know, I, to be frank with you, was diagnosed with probably the most common form of infertility when I was 23 years old. It's called polycystic ovarian syndrome, or PCOS, and it is caused by insulin resistance. Well, flashback to like 1999 or so, and we didn't know that officially. It was a working theory, but nothing was set in stone. And I found at the time that I knew way more about my body and my condition than any doctor did. They were at sea on this stuff. And I'm on online early internet boards with other women in the same boat comparing notes about, like, how are you managing your symptoms? And even those of us that weren't trying to conceive were getting at the time what I would basically call the weight loss brush off, which was, well, if you could just lose weight, you'd be fine. And that's great. But if you have insulin resistance, there are a number of reasons that make just lose weight a much more hard proposition, right? It's more than diet and exercise. You can diet and exercise all you want and still not lose weight if you have that insulin resistance piece. So you do need some kind of push, some kind of nudge to help you get over the hurdle. For me, I eventually did get pregnant. It took about 2.5 or 3 years on my own, kind of like a strike of lightning. I lucked out. I had lost some weight, and it took me a full 3 years to lose 30 pounds. That's how hard it was. So you talk about people on these weight loss programs that are like, I lost 10 pounds in a month. Like, that is not what you're looking at with something like PCOS. 10% of women, it's estimated, have this.
Was there a stigma that you battled back then? And do you think it's changed much over the last 20-something years?
Yeah, I think at the time, especially before I was trying to get pregnant, there really wasn't a lot of resources for women who have that condition but weren't trying to conceive. So, you know, to be brutally honest, I went 2 years without a period, right? That's not normal. Went to see my doctor. I had gone through, like, I don't know, month after month after month of negative pregnancy tests because I'm like, something's weird with my body and I don't know what's going on. Keep getting negatives. It's super depressing. And my doctor's like, you're just not having a period. It's fine. That, well, no, that's not
that
fine.
That doesn't sound fine. Not,
that is
not,
not
at
okay.
That age. It's fine at my age now.
Sure. Mine too.
You know, postmenopause, but it would not be fine at that age.
Right.
There was just, it sounds like there was just a lot of unanswered questions, and you're trying to figure out, you know, the answers through a dashboard online. When we spoke to Dr. Turek earlier, now, you know, it appears that there is a lot more buy-in about weight loss and pregnancy.
And yeah, it's not surprising that a group of people who are heavier, who are more likely not to be ovulating, lower their weight, they ovulate, and then they're more likely to get pregnant.
And that's where the Ozempic and Wegovy and, you know, Tirzepatide or whatever an individual is using might help. And we talked about having that conversation, like, how should the conversation go with your doctor? I would just be blunt with them. I would go in and say, do you think if I went on this weight loss drug for a couple of months and I lost a couple of pounds, would that help? What do you think?
Yeah, I do. I mean, even back around Y2K, when we were first having those discussion board conversations in the iVillage Net forums or whatever we were on at the time, there were women who would talk about taking a really common diabetes medication that at the time was off label for this particular cause. It's called metformin. You might also know it as glucophage. It's a pill. It's not an injection. There were women who were getting pregnant on that, right? And it's the same thing. That one isn't necessarily for weight loss, but it treats insulin resistance, right? And so I think now that doctors have kind of cottoned on to the idea that there's an underlying thing here that if we treat, we're going to improve quality of life. And also, by the way, all the other symptoms that you have with PCOS and other infertility things could improve if you treat that underlying cause.
Becky, I just saw from the World Health Organization, they estimate 8 to 13% of reproductive age women have PCOS.
Yeah.
One in 10.
Yeah, it is quite possibly the number one cause of infertility in women.
What are some of the other symptoms you experience so maybe women can
hear
this?
And here's where the stigma comes in, right? Because some of this is really embarrassing. So I told you that I went without a period for a long time. So you have infrequent or irregular menstruation. Acne is really, really common among women. So if you're, you know, over your teenage years and you're thinking, what in the world is with my skin? That's a thing. Hair growth in places where you don't expect hair growth, almost kind of male pattern things. So some women will have to, you know, frequently tweeze their chins or their upper lip.
That could be a sign.
Yeah. All of that stuff. Weight gain in a particular pattern. So it's not just like all over weight gain, but if you kind of look apple shaped, that's part of it.
Around your belly.
And you also have higher risk for things like diabetes, gestational diabetes. And I, in fact, did wind up with both of those things. So to me, it was all about connecting the dots, right? And also, I think it's wild that in, you know, 1999, I basically diagnosed myself.
Because without my doctor, medical school.
Right. I read this article on the internet and I was like, oh my gosh, I check all those boxes. I took it to my doctor's office and he was like, oh yeah, I thought about that, but you know, you're young and healthy. And I was like, okay, but I fit all these boxes.
Well, you said this in the beginning, and I believe this is true. We know our bodies. We know our bodies so well, and what we need is confirmation from doctors who practice in that area to tell us, you know, you're not crazy.
And you have to advocate for yourself.
You totally
I was 22, 23-year-old me was really afraid to do that.
It's
I am not now.
Well, you're amazing, and thank you so much for sharing that with it. I think this just by you coming in here and explaining all that to us will help a lot of women. We're going to podcast this later, so if you missed this discussion, not only with the doctor, the OBGYN we spoke to about these weight loss drugs, newer weight loss drugs, and pregnancy, you'll also catch that the conversation we're just wrapping up now with our news director here at KSL News Radio, Becky Bruce.
Becky, I really appreciate you being willing to talk about this because I think too often, whether it's shame or embarrassment, whatever it might be, we just kind of hide. And I think this is a great conversation to have. You're a rock star. Thank you so much for 21-year-old miracle baby. I love it.